Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jedi, and welcome to our first episode of 2022. We are glad that everyone is back, and we're excited for today's episode on the Slender Man stabbings.
So for the month of January, we will be covering cases that are related to Wisconsin. And our first case took place in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which is just outside Milwaukee, on May 31st of 2014. So who is Slender Man? He is this fictional character that was created for a paranormal image contest back in 2009. So this creator had photoshopped two like innocuous black and white images of just like groups of kids. The first image of this group of kids is they're just like walking down a path. And then the second image is some kids on a playground, and some of them are like climbing up a slide, and there's like a merry-go-round in the background. But what he did was he took these pictures and photoshopped this character into the background to make it look like this really unnaturally tall, thin, faceless character was just towering over and watching these children. Under the first photo, he wrote, quote, "We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." Supposedly, this photo was taken in 1983, photographer unknown and presumed dead.
That was just so creepy, and it very much gave me the chills.
This next one's worse.
Oh, God.
So the second photo underneath it read, "One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials. Fire at library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986. Now, these are totally made up, right? Just as a reminder, he photoshopped these photos. I'm assuming that the photos themselves were real, but he photoshopped Slender Man into them, and he came up with these two blurbs to put underneath it to just really drive home how creepy this is. And it worked. This character of Slender Man just took off. So this character of Slender Man was created without like a backstory, without any canon or anything like that. It was just these two photos with these two blurbs, and it was put out there. So that means that when it picked up popularity and people liked how creepy it was and everything, they ran with it. They were creating their own myths, their own fan art, their own fanfic, their own things that he could do, like his different abilities and things like that. Because there was no indication of like who he really was, what he does. It was just this creepy figure in the background of these photos with implied deaths. So since that contest, people have also made like YouTube clips, there's video games, there's purported sightings about him, and like so many movies and episodes of TV shows that are related. So again, he's described as like unnaturally tall, he's very thin, he has this white featureless face, and he's always shown wearing like a black suit with a tie. And he's sometimes drawn with tentacles coming out of his back.
I remember I saw the movie, I think in 2019, whichever one came out then. And I just remember, like, I was like, oh my God, he's as tall as, like, a tree. His body literally looked like a tree trunk. Because, like you said, he was so slim and, like, just so big. And then just didn't really have any face features. But he was just so creepy. And I think you described him perfectly.
Yeah, he's actually depicted a lot in forests. And he's said to kind of hang out in forests or like abandoned buildings and things like that. People could basically do what they wanted with his story, which is how we get here. So that's who Slender Man is. So Slender Man is said to target like everyone, but mostly he is said to target children. And so there's a lot of different fan fictions and things written about him. And there's a lot of information about him on this one site, in which is called Creepypasta Wiki. And this is where two of the girls, Morgan and Anissa, first learn about him. So the two girls, Morgan and Anissa, were 12 years old at the time, and so was their friend Peyton. Peyton and Morgan met in the fourth grade, and Peyton said she saw that Morgan didn't really have any friends and decided to make friends with her, and they took off from there. And then that year at school, Anissa was new, and she just grew close to Morgan, so they all just kind of became friends, fast friends. And if they're all about 12, we're talking about 6th grade, 7th grade. So Morgan's birthday rolls around on the weekend of May 30th, May 31st, and it's a Friday night, and all the girls had been looking forward to this. They were going to be spending the night at Morgan's house, but they were going to be going to the skating rink nearby to like eat pizza and enjoy their night. Morgan's mom said that they were like running up and down the stairs, playing in Morgan's room, just like a very typical 12-year-old birthday sleepover. And the next morning, they asked Morgan's mom if they could go to the park nearby. Morgan's mom said she typically didn't let her leave the house or like go to the park by herself, but she figured because she had two friends with her, everything was going to be just fine. So again, like everyone had really been looking forward to this, especially Peyton. She had been looking forward to this for weeks. And they get to the park and they're playing around. And Morgan and Anissa decide that they want to like go for a walk into the woods nearby and like play hide and seek and things like that. Peyton didn't really want to go, but they kind of like coerced her, forced her, however you want to say it.
That already sounds kind of creepy. Let's go play hide and seek in the woods.
Yeah, happy Saturday morning. So when they're out there, Morgan is it. At this one point, so Anissa and Peyton go, you know, like run away, and Anissa tells Peyton to like lay on the ground and like put leaves all over you, you know, try and hide yourself. At that point, Anissa sits on top of Peyton, who's now laying on the ground. Morgan comes out with a knife with a 5-inch blade and begins to stab Peyton repeatedly.
So only one person stabbed her and the other one was just holding her down, or did they stab her together?
That's what it sounds like, is that Anissa sat on her and Anissa actually gave the command because she was the one with Peyton, you know?
Yeah.
And so she like gave a command and Morgan jumped out and started stabbing Peyton.
Oh my goodness.
So after they finished stabbing her.
So all this was what, like in the name of Slender Man?
Yeah. So they're doing this because they believe that they're going to become proxies of Slender Man or for Slender Man. And this is going to earn them a place in his mansion.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So I guess in order to be involved with Slender Man or become a proxy of his, you have to commit a murder. And this is
so what she was stabbing her to kill her.
Yes, they were stabbing with the intent of killing her because she needed to die in order for them to be associated with Slender Man.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then they also believed that within this woods was a mansion that Slender Man lived in.
Okay. So is that why they went like in the woods?
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like trying so hard to understand.
Because we find out later on during the investigation that they actually tried to kill her two other times.
First from this time?
Yeah. First the night in Morgan's house, then that morning at the park in the bathroom, and then they killed her in the forest.
Oh my God. They were determined.
They'd been planning this for months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So after they finish stabbing her, they tell her to like lay down. They're going to go get help. If you lay down, you're going to lose less blood that way. They had no intention of going to get help. They left her there to die. They needed her dead for Slender Man, you know, in order to be associated with Slender Man. So they just start walking. And Peyton eventually is able to get up. She's awake this whole time. She's able to get up and walk towards a road. And when she gets there, she kind of like lays down in the grass. I mean, obviously, you know, she's not going to keep standing there. Eventually a cyclist comes by and he sees her. And again, she's still awake. She's able to ask him for help. He calls 911 and the first officer that gets there is able to ask her who did this. She says her friend Morgan. he says, you know, it looks like a knife or something, you know, like how did these wounds happen? And she like estimates the blade size and everything. Like, she's with it. So again, Anissa and Morgan are nowhere to be found. They're not like in the immediate area or anything like that. And Peyton gets taken to the hospital, again, awake the entire time. Her parents meet her there. Her mom said that Peyton had like reached out when she saw her. So the mom like ran to her, you know, was hugging her, got in the bed with her. Peyton was obviously like terrified and crying. And her mom just kept telling her like, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just kept hugging her. It ended up taking two nurses to tally up all the stab wounds, and they found 19.
Holy crap. This girl was literally out there like, I need to kill her. And I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised that she didn't die from 19.
It's a lot.
Stab wounds.
For a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
With a 5-inch blade.
Bless her heart.
Mm-hmm. So none of the parents knew anything was wrong until the cops show up at their houses. So Morgan's mom, you know, hears the bang, bang, bang on the door. She goes to open it, and there's cops there in riot gear. She thinks her daughter and her two friends are at the park having fun. And so they, you know, barge in the house. They're looking for Morgan. And all they're really telling her is something happened at the park and one of the girls was injured, because they can't tell her anything else. It's an ongoing investigation, and they're trying to find the culprits. So her mom's obviously freaking out, and then they get a hold of Anissa's mom. Still can't find Anissa. Still can't find Morgan. They didn't go home. These two girls are eventually found about 5 miles away on the other side of Waukesha, on the side of I-94 by a furniture store. They're picked up by the cops. So Peyton had sustained injuries to her arms, legs, and torso. There were two significant stab wounds in her torso that very well could have been the end of her life. She was stabbed near her heart, and if the blade had gone literally a hair's width deeper, it would have nicked a major artery. She would have had a major heart attack and died within a minute.
They were so close, yet so far. I'm honestly so, like, the more I hear this story, the more glad I am that she didn't die.
Right,
because like she sustained so much, and like so little could have killed her. But I'm just so glad she's alive.
Yeah,
it's insane.
The other significant stab wound was that Morgan had pierced her diaphragm, which cut both her liver and her stomach in the process. So, like I said, Anissa and Morgan were found about 5 miles away, and they said it was about 5 hours after the stabbing took place. They had walked to the other side of the town and were found outside a furniture store. The cops picked them up, brought them back to the station for questioning. And again, their parents don't really know what's going on at this point. In the state of Wisconsin, it doesn't require a parent or a guardian to be present during questioning, no matter the age, as far as I could tell, because these are 12-year-olds.
I'm sure they can like only really understand sixth grade level stuff. Like, you're reading them this legal blurb of nothing. They literally don't know what it means. Like, they know what you're saying to them, but they're not going to have any comprehension of like what they actually have rights to.
Exactly. In a study conducted in 1980 by a psychologist, Thomas Grisseau, he found that, quote, juveniles younger than 15 manifest significantly poorer comprehension of Miranda rights than the adults. And the most frequently misunderstood section of the Miranda rights, this doctor found, was specifically the statement refers to the right to consult an attorney before interrogation and to have a present attorney during interrogation. And he found that almost 45% of juveniles completely misunderstood that right, versus 14.6% of adults. And we're talking about 15 and under, right? So these are two 12-year-olds. They don't understand that if you don't verbally ask for a counsel, you're not given one. And anything that you say can and will be used against you.
Right. These 12-year-olds had no idea to ask for an attorney. Like, I feel like even using the word counsel instead of lawyer or attorney can be like a completely different like perspective on like, oh, I need to ask for a lawyer, or oh, I need counsel. Like, it's not the same thing. Like, for me, my first language obviously isn't English, it's Spanish. So I think I only know counsel because not only did I go to college, but like I watch like Law and Order and like Criminal Minds and things like that. So like I know what it means. But if I were 15 and like I was getting questioned, I wouldn't have known. Even if I was 18, like I wouldn't have known, like, oh, you can request counsel. I would be like, what? Like, what is that?
When I was their age, I thought Miranda rights referred to a woman named Miranda. I had no idea what that meant.
Yeah, no.
Not yeah. that it was a case, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's last name. No, exactly. And what this also reminds me of is if anyone has seen Making a Murderer or is familiar with the Stephen Avery cases, you'll remember Brendan Dassey was arrested in a similar fashion. He was kind of coerced into giving a statement saying that he was, in fact, a part of a murder when he wasn't. And this kid was arrested out of his high school class at 16 years old with no parent, no guardian, no counsel. And he's still in prison. They can't get him out even after he's written appeals to say that he was coerced by the police. And he's going to be in prison until he's about 60 years old. And he was arrested at 16.
His whole entire life was literally spent in prison.
So just reinforcing how important it is to ask for accounts. That being said, though, both the girls were wearing clothes that were covered in blood. They had a backpack in their possession that included the weapon. It also included water bottles, clothes, granola bars, family photos, because they were planning on leaving to be with Slenderman. And they wanted to remember what their family looked like.
Nice. Now that you mention it, I'm surprised they walked five full miles and no one noticed them with like blood. Like these two little girls, right, full of blood. Like they could either be hurt or they hurt someone else. Like why did no one help them or catch them before the 5 hours? Also, they were prepared with all the granola bars and the extra clothes. Like they were out there.
This was a whole plan. When the girls were taken into the station, their demeanor was like calm and they seemed kind of like weak. I mean, they were 12-year-olds, of course. They don't understand what's going on, really. So especially Morgan, she's the one that did the actual stabbing. She was very calm. She was very relaxed. They had released the interrogation room footage and she's just kind of like dancing and twirling in a circle and like fixing her clothes, like completely not fazed by what she just did. So this interrogation goes on for hours and Anissa, the girl who was sitting on Peyton, she had said, you know, when they asked her, like, why did you guys do this? As they're questioning Morgan and they're questioning Anissa, they're trying to get more information about, like, you know, what is the Slender Man situation? Why did you feel that you had to kill someone in order to, like, be his proxy and be with him and stuff? So this interrogation is going on for hours. And at one point, Morgan says, Anissa told me we had to. He'd kill our families. And so the officer, you know, he says, like, who is this man you're referring to? And Morgan says, quote, I didn't know him, but Anissa knew him. So I guess Anissa was the one who maybe had found him first, because during her interrogation, she's going into depths with the officer saying, there's this website called Creepypasta, and it's meant to like scare you, and it's got all these stories, versus like Morgan's was not as educational, if that makes sense. You know, like she didn't have as much of that background.
It sounds like Morgan was just going along with what like her friend was saying. And Anissa was the one that was like actually researching, maybe.
Right? Yeah. So to me, it sounds like exactly that. Anissa was the one that, you know, maybe just took interest in this random website and the stories and stuff. And, you know, together talking about it, just spun it into, you know, what it didn't need to be. So, like I said, in order for them to prove themselves worthy to Slender Man, they felt they had to kill someone. That's, I guess, what the legends say and things like that. So Anissa says, quote, Morgan said, we have to kill Bella, end quote. And Bella was a nickname that they had given Peyton. So Anissa is telling Morgan, you know, we have to kill her because otherwise he'll hurt our families, you know. And Morgan doesn't know him, but Anissa does. But then I guess Morgan is the one that says we do have to kill her. Otherwise, you know, he's gonna kill our families. During the investigation, Morgan also said at one point, I didn't want to do this. I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't. So Anissa says, so upon investigation, they find out that these two girls had been planning this for months. This wasn't a spur of the moment decision, obviously. I mean, they had their backpacks and everything, but this was going on for months. Anissa said it was Morgan's idea to kill her in order to prove themselves worthy, and that they had wanted to kill her as a sacrifice to this Slender Man. And I guess there were a couple different plots to kill her, not just this, what took place in the forest that morning. They had actually planned to kill her that night in Morgan's house. But, you know, whatever happened, they just kind of chickened out or decided against it. And so they had decided to take her to the park the next morning and kill her in the bathroom. But then when they got to the bathroom, they realized there was no drain for the blood to go down. And so they were kind of having an argument of who was going to kill her, and it just didn't seem like a good place. So that's when they decided to go for a walk in the forest.
Okay, so the drain didn't work out, and then they just figured, let's go outside, because if she dies in the woods, then
less likely to be found.
Easy cleanup, I guess.
Easy cleanup, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But there was enough, you know, forethought to say, oh, there's no drain for her blood to go down.
Yeah, clearly they did, you know, plan it out for months, so.
They thought it through.
Yeah.
So the girls, obviously, they end up giving a lot more detail to the police than they were able to get from Peyton, who was clinging on to life. So it said that Morgan was, in fact, the one that grabbed the knife, but she said, I'm not going to do it until you tell me to. And she's saying this to Anissa. And then Anissa says, quote, go ballistic, go crazy, end quote. So even though Morgan was the one stabbing, they were both very clearly involved in the planning and execution.
Wait, so now I'm confused. Anissa is the one
sitting on Peyton. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. But she was also the one that, like, actually believed in Slender Man, right?
Yeah, at the end of it, both Morgan and Anissa did believe in Slender Man, and they did believe that they were going to be, like, targeted if they didn't commit or, like, give this sacrifice to him.
But Anissa essentially was the one that, like, convinced Morgan, right? Or was it the other way around? Was it Morgan?
I think what I was able to gather was that they kind of, they must have just been feeding off each other, because this was going on for months, you know, mm-hmm. And these are 12-year-olds. So if you can kind of remember being 12, I mean, that was about the time, like, I got involved in, like, Twilight and stuff. And, like, your imagination is so active, especially around that time, like, when you're reading and stuff. Like, I was a complete bookworm. So, like, I, you know, like, you're reading the page and you can see it happening in your head kind of situation. So for me, what I gathered was that they were feeding off of each other. And at the end, they both believed that this was really real. They both believed that they were in danger and that their families were in danger if they didn't do this. And they both said, you know, like, we didn't want to do this, but we had to.
Yeah, we felt they believed they had to.
Yeah.
So Anissa's on top, and then Morgan says, I won't do it until you tell me to.
Yeah.
And then Anissa says, she had the knife,
and then Anissa said, go ballistic, go crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Dang. So again, at the police station, you know, Morgan wasn't showing much or any really empathy, but Anissa was described as, like, showing guilt. And as you listen to her kind of recount the story to the officer who's writing everything down, you can hear that she's kind of, like, getting choked up. There's, you know, like, there's tears in her eyes. She's sitting, like her hands are in her lap, her knees are together. Like, she's just very, like, timid and, like, kind of scared seeming, versus Morgan is just very calm and very unaware and unaffected by what she just did. Again, they're not, like, drenched in blood, but they're covered in blood. There's blood on their clothes. Morgan was eventually charged with attempted first degree homicide, which is a class A felony. And Anissa was charged with attempted second degree homicide, a class B felony. I guess the difference is that Morgan was the one holding and using the knife. So they were waived out of juvenile court to be tried as adults due to the nature of the offenses. At 12 years old, they were charged as adults.
I'm surprised, but not surprised.
Right. Court took a while to get through, but in 2017, Anissa pled guilty to being party to attempted second-degree homicide, but the jury found her not guilty by mental disease or defect. And Morgan accepted a plea offer where she wouldn't go to trial and would be evaluated to see how long she needed to be placed in a mental hospital. She ended up later pleading guilty, but was also found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. Anissa was sentenced to 25 years to life, which involves at least 3 years locked confinement and involuntary treatment in a state psychiatric institute, followed by supervision until the age of 37, which is 25 years from her being 12 years old at the time of the incident. And then Morgan was given the max of 40 years to life with at least 3 years locked confinement. In addition to involuntary treatment at a state psychiatric institute until either the complete resolution of her symptoms or until the age of 53, whichever happened first. And that is to be followed by continued supervision, periodic reevaluations, and or reinstitution, depending on the evaluations, and further treatment as needed, as required by the sentence.
I wonder what would have been different if they were charged as juveniles.
Yeah, I don't know. And while it says like they're sentenced to 25 years to life, it's not in a prison. It's in a mental institution.
Yeah, like it was broken down.
Yeah. And just for reference, the institution that these girls end up getting sent to, they said, at least at the time, the average stay of a patient was about 4 months.
Oh my God.
And at the facility, Morgan was the youngest patient committed, at least at the time. Yeah,
12 or 13, if whatever her birthday.
Yeah, because she was literally turning 12 or 13 that day or that weekend, whatever her birthday is. So Morgan was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and we end up finding out that runs in the family. Her father has it as well. And that makes sense because there's something like a 13% chance of the child having it if one parent has it, and about a 45% chance of the child having it if both parents have it. So Morgan will periodically be able to petition for her release from the mental facility, but she will remain under institutional care for the duration of the sentence. So for at least 40 years to life.
So right now she's still in the facility, the psych facility?
Yeah.
Her and Anissa, or just Morgan?
Anissa actually had a court hearing in March of 2021 at the age of 19. She had submitted a letter to the court stating she was, quote, sorry and deeply regretful for the agony, pain, and fear I have caused, end quote, and not just to Peyton, but, quote, to my community as well. She said, I hate my actions on that day, but through countless hours of therapy, I no longer hate myself for them. On July 1st of 2021, a Waukesha County judge ordered her release from the mental institution, but it was more of like a conditional situation due to the amount of stipulations that she has. She's assigned a State Department of Health Services case manager to track her progress until she's 37. She has a 24-hour GPS monitoring system, and she can't leave the county without permission. Her internet usage is monitored. She's not allowed to use any form of social media. She's required to take medications. She's personally escorted to regular counseling sessions by a caseworker, and she also has to live with her family during her probation. Anissa does. So while she's out, it's very conditional and it's very restrictive. So after the incident, Peyton left the hospital about a week after the attack. She went back to school that September. I don't think I'd be able to do that.
The school wouldn't see me for years. I'd be like, homeschool me, please. I'm never leaving this house again.
I'm with you. I couldn't do it. Yeah. So these girls, their mothers would, Morgan and Anissa's mothers would try and visit them a couple times a week. So obviously the families were from Waukesha and the institution was up in Oshkosh. So it's about an hour and a half drive every time one way. That's, you know, it's a bit, it's quite a drive. But, you know, they try to get up there as much as they could. But these girls, they have little to no outside access or even windows outside. When the mothers visit, there's absolutely no physical contact. They can't wipe a tear. They can't give them a hug. They can't hold their hand. Nothing like that. Morgan did appeal in 2020 to the court, and she wanted to be retried as a juvenile, but was rejected. Her attorney said that she should have been charged with attempted second degree intentional homicide and argued that she gave statements to the police before being read her Miranda rights. But the court rejected it. And the attorney has since petitioned the Supreme Court of Wisconsin to review the ruling. So that's still up in the air. But as of right now, Morgan is still in the mental institution and Anissa is out, but on a very conditional probation.
Like, I wish I could know the outcome if she would have been tried as a juvenile.
Or as, yeah, a child, I wonder if it would have been less severe or something.
Or just way different. Like, for Anissa, that she was the one sitting on top of her. And she basically can't have a life until she's, like, what, 40?
Just about. And, I mean, at that point, who's going to hire you? Your name is out there, you know? Her name is completely connected to this. There's no way around it. And especially if she has to stay in Waukesha County during this time. I mean, Waukesha's big, but it's not that big.
No. And I guess, I mean, you can always start your life at 38, but like she literally has done.
Oh, go ahead.
She like for 25 years, she's going to be sheltered. And like in her a prime mental 25
institution,
years.
Not yeah, even in like, a prison, in a mental institution. So it's like there's even less cohesive understanding of what the outside world is, you know, because at least in my mind, at least with prisoners, like a family member works in a prison. And I know that like they have access to using emails and iPads to watch movies. And, you know, like obviously it's monitored and it's under restrictions, but they still have like access to things like that. They get rec time. They have windows, you know. This is a mental institution for a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Until she's 37. She's not going to know anything.
No. I think that's the worst part about this. And I mean, I guess she might need it, like if she's schizophrenic, but.
No, that's the other one. The one who's staying.
Anissa?
Yeah. Anissa is the one that's out and she just sat on her. Morgan has schizophrenia and
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for Morgan, it's good if she's going to stay in there and she's schizophrenic. But either way, I think it's just unfortunate.
So the story of Slender Man started on this creepy pasta wiki. And that page has been blocked throughout the Waukesha school district. The administrator of the website released a statement after the attacks, you know, passing on their sympathies to the families and the victim. And he made the point of saying that the Creepypasta Wiki is a literary website that does not condone murder or satanic rituals, you know, really trying to distance themselves from it. But what I thought was really nice and to prove their stance on it was their community held a 24-hour stream on YouTube from July 13th to July 14th of 2014 to raise money for the victim. So which I thought was really nice. They wanted to show that they care for the victim and that they don't condone any real world violence just because they enjoy fiction that contains violence, which I thought was a good thing to say. That year too, just before Peyton was going to go back to school that September, the city of Madison held, this is a very Wisconsin thing, a bratwurst festival.
I love that for Wisconsin.
Yes, they held a one-day bratwurst festival to raise money for the medical bills and things. With over 250 volunteers, they raised over $70,000 for the family.
That's awesome.
That was wonderful.
Brats and cheese curds, yay.
Can't go wrong. All of this really sparked a debate over, you know, internet and keeping your kids safe and things like that. So an assistant professor of mass media arts at the University of Georgia stated that creepypasta was no more dangerous than stories about vampires or zombies. And she argued that creepypasta websites were beneficial and that they gave people the opportunity to become better writers. I agree with this to an extent, right? I think that, you know, there's a lot of different media that we ingest that revolves around violence, especially towards other people. But the important thing is that we're teaching and spreading awareness of internet safety and understanding what's fiction and what's not fiction. And what, you know, just being safe on the internet, obviously, you know, don't give out your information. Don't believe everything that you read. Don't believe everything you hear. Everyone that you talk to probably isn't who they are, but just being able to separate fact from fiction, especially in regards to the internet, is very important, especially with things like this, photoshopping. People believe that photos that they see are what they aren't all the time. And if you're not familiar with what it looks like to be photoshopped, or like even some really good Photoshop is very believable, then you're gonna get tricked, you know, especially if you're an impressionable 12-year-old.
Yeah, and kind of going off of like the internet safety, I couldn't, like, we can't even blame the website, because now I'm thinking like modern day Reddit. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, Reddit can, like, I go on Reddit if I'm like, you know, looking for a review, or if I'm looking for like a recipe or like random stuff. But you can so quickly and easily get into Reddit rabbit hole that will get you into the weirdest things. Like, Reddit, it can be weird, but it can also be useful. So when you were talking about this pasta wiki site, like, it's the same thing. Like, you know, it could be a good site for writers, but like, if used incorrectly, it's also very creepy and, like, you know, kind of can suck for little
anything
kids.
Is dangerous or a weapon if it's used incorrectly.
Yeah.
Part of the websites that, like, have images and things like that of Slenderman is called DeviantArt, and I'm a very avid reader, especially when I was younger, and a lot of the good parts of DeviantArt are that fans of books and stuff can create, like, character renditions, so you can get an idea of what the character's supposed to look like and things like that. So there's very, like, innocent and educational and nice things, but on the same website, you also get some creepier stuff that, you know, you just have to be careful and understand what you're ingesting. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I think you also mentioned, like, people now, I guess now we're going, like, into our takeaway, but we're, like, going on a rant as well. Like, even Facebook, you can see something like a profile that, like, can easily message you and be like, hey, go do this. And it's, like, not even the person that you think it is, like, meeting people from random websites. And I feel like we sound like parents now, but, like, the more older I get, the more I realize, like, the things that my parents told me when I was 13, like, it's very much true now. And I will tell everyone, like, don't just meet random people. Don't, like, believe whatever you see on the internet. So hopefully we can get that out there.
Yeah, this, and it really reminded me of, I believe it was Momo, was what you had been telling us about at work when it came around. And it's just, there's a lot of things that are out there that will target kids because they know that it's an easy target. It's an easy audience to get information or whatever they want. So teaching internet safety is, I think, is our big takeaway today, is just being safe as best as you can on the internet about who you're interacting with and what you're ingesting.
Yeah. And I think, like, I want to point out, internet safety is for everyone, like, whatever age you're listening to us, you know, you can be a 40-year-old and you have teenage parents. You can be 30 and you have little kids. Like, you may be 15 and you're a teenager going through this. Like, I feel like internet safety is for everyone. So if you're 15 and you're listening to us, don't think we're just, like, some naggy adults. Like, this is very real. And I think for parents, just, like, keep encouraging your kids to, like, be safe, keep monitoring their internet activity if they have to, like, anything really to keep your children safe.
Parents, also keep an eye on what your parents are doing. Older generations who aren't as versed with the internet,
yeah,
we know this already, they get taken advantage of all the time because they don't understand what's going on. So just
they can get so easily scammed.
Yeah, my grandparents got scammed. It's very easy. So the story of Slender Man is continuing to be perpetuated in media. It's definitely not going anywhere. HBO had a film. Law and Order, SVU, and Criminal Minds, and other police shows like that. They all have episodes inspired by these events. Lifetime made a movie. Netflix made a movie.
Safe to say it's very much still active today. Like, this story took place in 2014, but we're still seeing it, like,
8 years later. So that's all we have for today. Thank you for joining us. As always, follow us on our social medias, especially Instagram and Facebook, to stay up to date with our next episodes.
And our second episode for the year of 2022 will be January 27th, and we will continue with our Wisconsin story.